Such a pleasure to be here. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, I was in the division office in Hosur, India. And we were singing this same song that we had for opening, The Lord is My Light. And I thought to myself, isn't that beautiful words for the sermon that I have today? Truly, the Lord is our light and is with us no matter where and when we are. You know, Jesus was separated from his parents. His parents wanted to know why he had disappointed them. And Jesus' answer was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Who is your Father? Who is my Father? In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So who are we? We're children of God, aren't we? And what a privilege we have as God, as our Father. See if I can operate this mechanism here. Aha. Here's the memory text on the screen. I wanted to talk to you today about being about our Father's business. So I'll bring you some examples of personal stories which I have encountered and also from the Bible. And then encourage you to continue to witness for God. I told Sherman I'm going to need some water. I was singing too loud and my throat was dry. So the object of my sermon is to give us courage and give you ideas on how you too can be about your Father's business. Well, we got that. Okay. December 13, my wife and Mrs. Brooke, Tom Stafford's wife, he's a pastor in Vancouver area. We were doing an evangelistic effort, and they saw that my wrist was quite puffed up, and they were concerned whether or not I would have a broken wrist. Well, I didn't think I had one because after it happened, I ended up in the Hyderabad airport, and some of the stewardess saw how painful I was holding my hand up, and they called the local airport doctor, and he examined me and said, "Well, I don't think it's a problem. If you want to, you can x-ray it, but I don't think it's a problem." So I took his word for it and decided that I really didn't need an x-ray. But my wife and Mrs. Brooke, who's a nurse, she decided that I really should go with Pastor Tom Stafford to get this thing x-rayed. So I went, signed in, got to see the doctor. He ordered an x-ray. And then about that time, when we got the x-ray, he went off. He had a hospital, a small hospital, and he had to do rounds. And so the little nurse invited us into the doctor's office again, then waited there with us. So I said to her, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And I said, "I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian too." "Oh," she said, "a Seventh-day Adventist young person came in here the other day. What do they believe?" And that's the opportunity God gave me to witness to her. So I told her about the creation story. And she was thrilled. And I told her about how God had sanctified and set aside the Sabbath day and that there was a counterfeit enemy, which was the devil. I said, "Would you like to come to our church?" She said, "Yes, I'd like to do that." So we told her how to get there. And she was so thankful. And just then, after we finished that conversation, in walks the doctor with his other nurses. So God set aside that particular period of time just so I could witness, not because I needed an x-ray. That's what I told my wife. Okay, I haven't figured this thing out yet. On the side, okay. The top one? Or just this thing? Yeah. There we go. Thank you. Now I've got it figured out. We had an evangelistic series November 24th through December 4th, in which we were targeting 30 villages. And it was my privilege to be there and to see the people just absorb all this spiritual information that would be being fed to them by Ron Oliver, my brother-in-law, and as well as the Pastor Tom Stafford. At the end of this service, so they were witnessing, they were about their Father's business, telling these folks about Jesus Christ. And so it was fun to be part of that process. Anyway, at the end of this one, it was December 1, I was told that there was a vehicle accident. And so we had sent our car on ahead, and so we had to wait for Ron Oliver's car to collect us and take us back home. And these people who actually had been to the meeting that very day, there were some baptisms, and I happened to be at one of the baptisms. Here's Ron and myself in the picture below, and the person being baptized in the picture above. So it was a great privilege to be able to see this. So anyway, these people were on their way to the evangelistic effort when they had this accident. They had this auto rickshaw, and there were 18 of them in this auto rickshaw, not this particular one, but one like this, and a motorcycle hit them head on. And so you can imagine there were some injuries. And these were the injuries. One young boy was thrown up in the air, obviously about 10 years old, and when he landed and where he landed, no one really knows, but he had a lot of hurt, and so we did an MRI on him. Then one man had a broken leg and a broken arm. Another person had a collarbone out of displaced, and so the doctor was able to put that back in. Then one fellow had an injury on the side of his head, and blood came out. And there were other four minor injuries. All these people had just been baptized. And can you imagine that? God saved their life. And within 4 or 5 days, they're all gone home, and there was no problem. It only cost me $500 for all the medical to clear all this off. And we took care of them nicely, so that was not a problem. But just remember, they were protected. The person in the motorcycle actually died. So we praise God for the protection, and we're so sorry that the one who hit them ended up. So back in the hotel, we got there late and tested my blood sugar. My blood sugar seemed to be okay. Went to sleep about 2:30 in the morning. I woke up, saw blood all over the floor. And, I was at the foot of the bed, and I saw my candy bars at the head of the bed, I knew that I was having low blood sugar. And so I reached towards the door. I had 3 bananas there, quickly gobbled them down, called my sister and my husband, and they came in and got me. I had upper teeth and lower teeth loose and nose bloody and my lower lips. And you'll see this in one of the pictures coming up. And bruise marks underneath, and my wrist was all... I couldn't even dress myself. I couldn't even tie my shoes. I couldn't do anything. And so I headed for home. Anyway, God is good, and I thank God that I'm here today. And so he's still able to use me, and I praise God for that. The question is, can he use you? And what is your answer? What's your answer? Yes, he can use you. If he can use a guy like me, he can use anybody. Now this young lady, you'll notice in the picture my hand down there, it's a very swollen. Oh, you're not looking at that, are you? This young lady is Rachel, and at the age of 20 years old, she became a Christian. And age of 21, her father vowed never to see her again and threw her out of the house. And so it was my privilege to be her spiritual father and walk her down the aisle, and she was married to a young man there. She's walks into the jungle, goes back into the villages, on her own, eats the food that they eat, and spreads the gospel message. So she, too, is about her father's business, and we praise God for that. And we know the story in the Bible of the young maiden taken from Israel by Syrians, I guess it was. Well, let's see, Naaman was a... Anyway, so anyway, and she said to Naaman about her God and about if he were to be able to go to Elijah, then he would be able to be healed. So she also was about her father's business and talked to him about God. Then we know the story of Naaman, how that he went to see Elisha, and how that he first went to the king. And the king of Israel rent his clothes because he was afraid that they were trying to pick a fight. And then Elisha hears about it, invites him to his house. And then Elisha sends a message to him, doesn't even come out and say anything, but Elijah sends a message because he's the messenger of God, and he wanted God to have the credit, not himself. So that's what we have to do about our Father's business, is highlight God and not ourselves. So Elisha sends a message and he says, go clean. So what was the result? Well, Naaman was pretty angry, wasn't he? The Bible, English Bible says he was wroth. But his servants know how to take care of him. They kindly said, you know, if you had been asked to do some great thing, you would have done it. But here it's just a simple thing. So wash in the river 7 times. So he did, and what happened? His skin was like a small child. And so what did he declare? Behold, now I know there is no other God in all the earth but in Israel. I say that's the day he became a Seventh-day Adventist. Yes, so he, the little girl, Naaman, everybody becomes a declaration of the Father, our Father, and we're about our Father's business. Naaman makes a pledge, thy servant will henceforth neither burnt offerings or a sacrifice other than to the God, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we know the story of Elijah, how that he walks right into the king's palace, tells the king there's not going to be any more rain except by my word. I'm sure when he left hurriedly, the king says, now who's that guy? I've never seen him before. And his servants probably laughed because, you see, they believed that the local gods were the rain gods. So that's why God was using Elijah to say there would be no water, because God is the controller of the rain and no one else. So Elijah finds refuge at the brook Cherub. Then we know he goes on to Jezebel's hometown. Then we hear how that Elijah was sent to meet the king. And on the way, he met Obadiah, and then told Obadiah, please, I want to meet Ahab. Then when he meets Ahab, what does Ahab do? And you'll find that those who are sinning actually will accuse the non-sinners that they're at fault rather than themselves. And so Ahab said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And of course, then Elijah invites him to the top of the mountain. I must be about my Father's business. And God told him to go up there. And Elijah said to them, now why halt ye between two opinions? The Lord be God, follow him. If not, then they put the sacrifice there. And you know how that they spent most all day trying to burn up their sacrifice. But then God sends at the last moment down a fire from heaven, and he was on his Father's business. Then we know how that he kind of ran away. He was kind of afraid. But God speaks to him in a small, still voice. So sometimes we get discouraged in life too. So don't get off track if sometimes you are a little discouraged. Come back and God will direct you as well. Then we know about Elijah, how that Elisha puts on the mantle and he becomes the next prophet as such. And now we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how that the king Nebuchadnezzar, after throwing them in, and they testified of God, how that Nebuchadnezzar said, the only true God is the God of heaven. This is the time I believe that Nebuchadnezzar became a Seventh-day Adventist. I also believe that he followed God the rest of his life after that, except the time that he had to go out and eat grass for 7 years. But sometimes we have to be humbled as such. But all these times, God's will is being done through our witnessing, through acts that we do, and about our Father's business. All desire to witness. But so the question all comes, how can I do it? And sometimes we have excuses or reasons why that we can't do it. Well, and here's some of the reason. I'm depressed. No one loves me. I'm a mess. Why can't I do this thing right? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I have no talent. All these excuses I hear when I invite people to come to India to help with evangelism. But truly, if we get by these things and trust God, it's a good thing. My friend Fink and I went out in Africa, we went on a tour. And I generally take a hard bread with me because it'll mold otherwise. And I had a couple slices of the bread, and we came to an avocado tree. And I reached up and took the avocado, and I cut it and put it on my bread and began to eat it. And he looked at it, and he was hungry, and so I gave him a piece of bread, and he put avocado on and ate it, and then he was addicted. You know, for 13 years, he had an avocado tree in his front yard that he knew he didn't like until he finally was forced to eat it in such a situation, and from then on, he was addicted. So, and the same way with my wife. I don't know if this is all right for telling my wife a little bit. For 35 years, she refused to drive our car because she was afraid and fearful that she would hurt somebody because we were in an auto accident when we were in Africa. But finally, God gave her the courage, and now she does most of the driving, especially at this time when I'm a little crippled. So it's a case of putting our mind and trusting in God. So when we witness, how do we do that? We need to do it with power. Do it with conviction. Do it in such a way that we're not afraid at all. And so we know the Bible text, "Go ye therefore in all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told them, even to the end of the world." So that's our commission. So when you think about it, you already have been asked to do it, and it's just now doing it. Now, as we look at how to find the lost, the people in need are all around us. And when we keep our back to the people in the river that are being lost, and we have the lifesaver, we have to realize that we have to ask God to open our eyes so we can actually see these people. If you'll ask questions of people, you'll find that most everybody's hurting and wanting to have a special friend. So don't be afraid to smile and do something. Doing nothing won't get you anywhere. Remember, you have the lifeline. You know about Jesus Christ. And that's the way to salvation, is knowing Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I was at Idaho camp meeting last year. And as I was going to supper, on the way out the door, I noticed a man. I told him, "I'm Pastor Robinson. Here's my card. Can I help you?" And we'll call him Steve. And he said, "Well, do you know of anybody that knows how to talk to people?" And I said, "Well..." He said, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Did you go to the seminary at Andrews University and get a doctoral degree there?" And I said, "No." "Oh, okay, thank you." I said, "Well, would you join me for supper?" He said, "No, I'm going to go be with my wife." And so that night when I went to the evangelistic effort, he wasn't there. But the next night when my daughter and I sat together in the back, there he was in front of us. And so I touched him, and he seemed annoyed that I touched him. I didn't figure out what the problem was, but he got up and went off. And I wasn't really sure it was Steve. So the lady next to him, I said, "Is this your husband, Steve?" And she said, "Yeah." And so the next time he came in, I got up and really shook my hand, and then he was really annoyed. And so I thought to myself, what happened to me? Anyway, so they both left the meeting because of my trying to be friendly to him. I'm telling you this because sometimes people are not friendly the first time around. And when we're about our Father's business, remember, don't give up after the first annoyance you may make them. Anyway, the next day, he called me, and he apologized. He said, "You know, I'm a backslider. And I came, and I was trying to find somebody to talk with, and God was sending you. But I was really being naughty to you." So the end of the story is, that night we sat together, I showed him what I was doing in India and Nepal, and he said to me, "You know, all the reasons I left the church and wasn't coming back and wanted to talk to somebody are all gone." He says, "After seeing what you do, I have no excuse for anything." Now we communicate, and he tells me now I'm no longer driving truck on Sabbath, and so I put some trucks here. He's hauling beets but these are trucks of sugar cane. Okay, so when we present the message, we must present it from our heart, not just lip service. We must believe what we're doing. So put your whole heart into it. So what we're trying to do is transfer from fear to faith, because that's what we have to. We have to have confidence in ourselves. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's remember that God will give us the power to do what he wants us to. And the Bible text here also, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power from the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be a witness unto me in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This text applies to all of us. So we can be God's ambassador. We can be about our Father's business, having the faith that the Holy Spirit will be there for us. So whether you're on an airplane, whether you're in a chair with somebody, whatever you're doing, you can witness and feel comfortable because the Holy Spirit will give you those words. That's what we have seen and that's what we heard. That's what we tell about. Tell about experiences in your life, how God has helped you, as indicated in 1 John 1:3. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be a witness unto me. And you know, when you do witness, what a warm, nice feeling you have inside. And with great power given the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tell them about Jesus Christ and how he died for us and how he's resurrected and how he's up there and how he loves us and is coming again. So truly, Jesus is the vine. And what are we then? Well, we are the branches. And if he is the vine, we are the branches, then what? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much? Much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. So as you connect with God, he will provide that fruit. And the fruit, it represents the character of God. And some of those characteristics are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, and self-confidence. And those things will come within your life as you connect with God. And people will want to be drawn to you. I have a friend. Some of you have real close friends that will come from anywhere to see you. And I have a couple of those friends. And enjoy to be in their company. My best friend is my wife, though. So the source and connection is who? The Holy Spirit. And through that source connection, the fruit of the Spirit are a gift. We cannot of ourselves buy them. We cannot ourselves get them ourselves. It has to come through the Holy Spirit. And then those fruit of the Spirit will be ours. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask of him. So what is the source of our connection to God? The Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit, then, we can empower ourselves to do as God has asked us to do. And I prayed the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be what? In you. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me. And that's a privilege we have, to invite Jesus in our life. And he then takes charge of all the sinful things of our life and gets rid of those things for us. So Jesus then drives out all the evil things that we have, hatred, fighting, jealousy, anger, envy, desire for lustful pleasures, criticism, murder, drunkenness, self-centeredness. We need to be always other-centered and not self-centered. And that's hard for us to do because we're naturally selfish. But as we come in connection with God, and as we witness for him, we give ourselves out to him, going about our Father's business. Satan does not want us to know that we can have the character of Jesus. All we have to do is give our will to Jesus, and he will take us. So how can I change? We ask God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into thy way everlasting. That's my desire, and I'm sure it's yours. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's word in John 16:8. What does it do? There's three words there. Convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Isn't that nice that we can be convicted? It is only by the feeling that we're not right with God and our desire to be right with God that we can ask God to come in and take charge of our life. The Holy Spirit speaks through the still small voice. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. There's a song, unto thee, O Lord. We know that song. Do I lift up my heart? Okay, got to go back here a little bit. Okay, so when you talk with other people, don't come across as if you know it all, because you can learn from other people things about Christ. So be willing to listen to them, and then be willing to share what you know also in a loving, kind, Christ-like manner. The Holy Spirit is leading, must always be, everything that we talk about must be in harmony with the Holy Scripture. Because to the law and to the testimonies, if they speak not according to them, it is because they have nothing in them or any light at all. So remember that we must speak not our own words, but that which the Scriptures take. Take no thought of how what we should say or do speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. But first of all, you have to learn it. Then God will bring it to your mind. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. So Bible study is very important. There is power in prayer. In the name of Jesus, ask God for the faith, obedience, and skills of Jesus. My folks, it's easy. All we have to ask. From fear to faith. And that's what we want to transfer. Get rid of your fear. Be willing to have faith in God that he'll trust you. So then you're willing to knock on doors if necessary. Maybe make a loaf of bread for somebody or do other things. Pray that God will every day give you an opportunity to speak to somebody. Then pray that God will give you the courage to actually do it. So let us be about our Father's business is my prayer for each one of us. God bless you. Shall we bow our heads? Loving, gracious God, we thank you for the privilege we have of being able to have you as our Father and to accept the responsibility of sharing by praying at restaurants when we want to thank God for the food, by talking to people when we have the opportunity. Help us to get rid of that fear that so often halters us when you are bringing a great opportunity to us. Bless each one of us here. Dear God, we want you to come and we want to be in heaven with you. So we ask that thou will bless us and keep us. May our face shine with your radiance, and may we reflect Jesus in everything we do and say, is our prayer. Amen.